ask for your prayers this morning. We appreciated the spirit of the service and faithfulness of the Lord to us today. We want to continue in that vein and in that spirit. We feel weak in the body, so we ask for your prayers physically. The Lord would strengthen us. Thankful for the leadership that we have in the Lord. I'm thankful for the understanding, knowledge that He gives us. And as I was meditating, sitting here even in service and thinking about the end of Monarch coming for 2015 and kind of look around the congregation, most of us have familiar faces and see us fairly often. But I was thinking about the battles that we fought and the burdens that we carry and the challenges that we face. And it is a sanctuary here. It's a place of safety, place of refuge. Then all of us have to go home from here and to go back into the routines and the ruts of life and the circumstances that we left when we came here. And I want to encourage us this morning by the word of the Lord that we'd be able to go home with a heart that's full of courage and our trust is based on the Lord. I was thinking about our knowledge and our understanding, thinking about people or humanity in general. And there's a reason why if you turn on the news on TV or you listen to it on the radio, there's a panel that they'll put together. They'll put men and people together to debate a situation or a circumstance. And they'll give all of their credentials and all their accolades. And this one's done this and this one's done that. And all to build up a confidence in the things that you'll hear. And they'll debate that one side to the left and back to the right and back to the left. But at the end of the day, they really have no influence over the situation, the things that they're facing. The only thing they can influence is people's minds and what they think about it. What has occurred or what is occurring has already happened or is going on. And the only influence they have is really over public opinion. And it's based on people taking for granted or believing in what this person says because of this or because of that. I was thinking about our mentality, and God made us in a way that we can make decisions. Even when we're young, if you touch a hot stove and your hand gets burnt, you recognize I probably ought not to do that again. It hurts. It causes me pain and discomfort. And all through life, we learn that way. And in a natural sense, it's very common for our knowledge and our understanding to be developed and established by experience. But I want to encourage us this morning that there's a knowledge and an understanding that goes beyond our natural. It goes beyond our ability and our own humanity to think or figure things out. But there is a God who has an understanding and an opinion that goes beyond, or it's more than an opinion, a truth that goes beyond opinion and even things that you see with your eyes or hear with your ears. God has a knowledge for us and a revelation of something that we can believe in, to stake our life and our convictions and the way that we live. We can base them on those understandings and those revelations. And even though and you just look at humanity in general, you can look at culture, you can look at the way that this world is going, and people are taken with every opinion and special interest in that direction and this direction. But I'm thankful this morning that there's a truth that we can base our life on, that we can base our understanding on, that we can hold to regardless of where the world turns or the different directions that it goes, and public opinion and culture and things can go all different directions. But God has an understanding and a revelation for us this morning that we can cling to. I want to put a warning in our mind this morning also, that something as a foundation to this thought, that we not be so caught up in our own reasoning and our own knowledge, that we make decisions just based on because of just it's what I think, and you can really get yourself caught up in an area where you have all the walls and everything is built up because of your own, even your own experience sometimes, and the vulnerability that we experience, and you get hurt. It's common to want to build a wall or a separation. It's natural for the human to want to do that. And I just want to put a caution in our mind this morning before we continue, that as we go home to face our battles, to have an openness before the Lord, to be able to work with us, to be able to have an openness to what He has to teach us and to guide us and to direct us step by step. People don't change overnight. Typically, it's over time and experience, but God has an expected end for us, but we have to be pliable in His hands. Now, this is different when the enemy comes and accuses, and remember, he always brings accusations that cast down and things that would cause us to lower our head and feel hopelessness if we couldn't continue. That's the time to hold to your strength and to hold to the Lord. But the Lord brings an encouragement and a hope with the truth that He brings. Something that will teach us that we can move from the places where we have been and out of the ruts of where we have been. He shows us the higher ground. He's always beckoning us. It's in this place you can come closer to Me. So in your reasoning and in your mind and in the things that you face as you go home and circumstances of life probably haven't changed since you've been here, have a pliableness and an openness to the Lord, to the encouragement and the hope He has, and still have that stalwart defense against the enemy, that when he comes to try to distract or to try to bring despair, that our courage and our strength is in the Lord this morning. I thought of Saul, and when he went out and he was to kill the king, I believe it was King Agag and the Amalekites, there was a reason for him, or God had a purpose and gave them instruction on what they were to do. That they were to kill all of the animals, that they were to destroy everything utterly. And if you take the time to read that account in 1 Samuel, you'll find that Saul had reasons for why he did what he did. And there were different excuses that he brought up. And in his mind, he had built up all the qualifications and all the reasonings of why he kept some of the best alive and why this one was still alive. And one point it was because the people said to do this. He had all of his reasonings and he clung to that and clung to that and clung to that. Till finally he realized that God was pronouncing a judgment on him, and then he was broken. Then he was sorry and ready to repent for his deed. But you remember what the prophet told him in that account? He told him, "When thou wert little in thine own eyes, God did great things." So when we go home from this meeting, we've made convictions. We've given things to God. We've gained ground in places where God has called us. Remember, we're little in His eyes. Remember, it's by His strength. They sing the song, "Poor Little David." I could hear that song over and over and over again and never get tired of it. In that chorus, it says, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't have the knowledge within myself. I don't have the ability to reason things out. But Lord, the battle's Yours. I'm little in Your sight. But Lord, You are great. You are mighty. Your understanding and Your revelation reaches beyond man's wisdom and man's understanding." And when God brings that inspiration of faith, then great things are able to happen in the giants and the battles and the cities that we face in life. There's a reason why when the children of Israel were trying to take the Canaan land and the battles that they had to fight, there was a reason why the battle was different every time. There was a reason why God required them to come to Him for direction. You wouldn't go fight Jericho and march around in our own wisdom. It would never make any sense. But the obedience to the Lord and what He directed is what brought the victory. And circumstances, the walls are still there. Whatever the city still is in your life, whatever the giant is that you've got to go home and fight now, it's still there. But by obedience to the word of the Lord and following the understanding, the enlightenment that He's brought to our soul, He's able to deliver the victory and deliver the giants into our hands. Our weapons, it's not things that we sit and we reason in a corner. We don't set a panel up and everybody bring all their problems and this is what I'm facing. And well, these six, they're going to decide for you. No, by the Spirit of the Lord, He reveals things that people don't even know or understand. God brings an inspiration to the heart that you can rely on, that you can lean on, that you know has a truth and a power to sustain you in your life and in your circumstances. I know that, and I was thinking about this as some of the things that we face. Life is not, some people that go out and live in the desert all on their own, and sometimes that sounds really appealing, but that's really not life. Life is people. Life isn't even really your job. It's the interactions and the relationships and the family and the people you're related to and the people you correspond with. This is life. And people change, and people change commitments, and promises get broken, and people go on. Life can get hard in some places. But when the Lord brings an inspiration of understanding, or He brings something that we can cling to, there is a power to sustain us in all of those circumstances of life. People may, you may go home now and the things that you're fighting in life, that person or those circumstances may still be there. But the revelation that God has put in your heart will sustain you in that environment. Carry you through day in and day out. And the enemy can rattle his cage, he can rattle his sword, but keep your eyes on the Lord and the understanding and the knowledge that He has granted to our heart, that He is able to keep us in the place where He has brought us. I have a number of scriptures here, but one of the ones that came to mind was in Daniel. If we can go ahead and read it, it's in the second chapter. This was the account where the king had a dream, and he desired for the wise men to expound or to tell him what his dream was and what the interpretation was. And in the 10th verse of the second chapter of Daniel here, it says, "The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, 'There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things that any magician or astrologer or Chaldean.'" This decree was something that couldn't be met by men's ability. How can you understand what one person dreamed? You weren't there, you didn't see it. And now they were going to be put to death because they couldn't respond. And they were trying to explain to him, nobody asked this. Nobody does this. It doesn't even make any sense for us to be able to interpret something that we don't know anything about. But you find something here that there's a power, there's something that's deeper in this. And you find that when Daniel heard this, I like what he said about being hasty. It said in the 14th verse, "Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Why is the decree so hasty from the king?' Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel." And sometimes in life we are hasty to look upon things and to see what the results are and the circumstances and to just pass the decree that this thing is impossible or there's no way to understand it or there's no way to unravel it or there's no way to work through the circumstance, and the decree becomes hasty in our own knowledge and our own ability. Seems hopeless sometimes, or there's no light at the end of the tunnel, or I don't see how things are ever going to change. But Daniel's response was that, "Why are you so hasty? Give me some time for this. Give me some time to go and to seek my God about this thing." And if you read on down here, we don't have to read all of it. But it says here in the 20th verse, "And Daniel answered and said," well, in the 19th verse it says, "And then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness and what light dwelleth with Him. And the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O God, of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast made known unto us the king's matter." I would encourage you this morning that no matter how hopeless or no matter how great the walls or the circumstances of life, that God is a revealer of the secret things, that He is a revealer of the deep things. And He is the one that appoints the kings and removes them, allows the season to change, to hold the times as He will. All things are held in His hand. All circumstances are held in His hand. Things are not allowed to continue without His blessing or His approval. He carries things. People make choices, I understand. But those that have their trust in God, He has the ability to hold them in the hollow of His hand. One place He said, "No man is able to pluck me out of that place." Let your faith and your confidence this morning not stand in the circumstances and the decisions of men, but let it stand in the power and the might of God, who is able to hold all things in all seasons. I was quite impressed. You look at some of the pictures that you can get now. They sent that little spaceship up there by Pluto. And the understanding to be able, I couldn't even begin to fathom the engineering and the logistics of launching something 10 years ago, and now they're what, 17,000 miles away and they can still take a picture? But do you see that man had to use all the laws that were already in existence? had to use the understanding to understand what God had already put in place. God is the lawgiver. He is the life giver. He is the one from which all things flow. And He is the one that is in control of the circumstances in life. And if He says He's able to sustain you, if He tells you to stay this course, if He puts a song in your heart and says, I'm able to take you through this place, then by God's power, He's able to carry us through those places. Because He established all things. The laws are in His hands. The understanding are in His mind. His thoughts and His ways are far above what we could understand and comprehend. Oh, sometimes things seem hopeless. Sometimes things can look as if they're in a far distant place. Oh, but God has even time in His hand. He even understands life is not taken without Him deciding whether it is time for that life to go or not. When you think of some of your loved ones and some of those that you care about, God holds them in His hand. They may have made decisions that have taken them far from God, but He holds their life in His hand still. Their life cannot be taken unless He says it's time. So put your confidence and your trust in the God that holds those things and lean on Him day in and day out. That's what this life is about. You wonder sometimes, I think of the young people when we had the prayer this morning about their life. You wonder what your purpose is this morning. You wonder what your purpose, why you were born. It was simply to have a relationship with God, to live with Him day in and day out. For you to find your understanding and your knowledge of life in Him and all that you face. Life is not always going to be easy. Your decisions, other people's decisions are going to affect you. But God is the one that is able to carry you, and His interest is in your heart and in your soul and in your life day in and day out. All of your ambitions, the way that you're made, the way that you think, what your weaknesses are. He understands those things entirely, and His desire is to meet and to provide day in and day out to face the life that we will face. These things are not something new to our time and our generation. Knowledge isn't something. It isn't as if in 2015 suddenly the whole landscape has changed. This has always been God's desire. To be able for man to lean on Him and to find their understanding and their life source from Him. He created Adam and Eve and walked in the garden, and I thought of some of the things that He must have pointed out to him to walk in something that you created, to see it in the detail as to how you made it and how you put it together. Then I thought of Jesus when He walked with the disciples, and as He was in His ministry, He often referred to nature and the different things that were around Him because He made them, because He understood them. Notice the fig tree, notice the dirt and the seas. Many times His lessons went back to the things that He understood because He made them. It's the same in your life. He made you like you are. He made you in the form when you were. It says in Psalms that He tried the reins when you were in the womb. Knows how you're going to respond to things. Knows the influences that parents have had and dad has had and mom has had and brother has had and different ones that you've encountered in life. Understands why those things have influenced you the way you have. Knows your weaknesses. Knows the things that are hidden that no one knows. And His interest and His desire is to walk with us day by day with full knowledge of how we are in our entirety. And to lead us from the places that we are and to deliver this land that He has promised us. A life of peace, a life of joy, a life of contentment that's based in our relationship with Him day in and day out. This is what life is about. Oh, sometimes we think I want to run from the problems or I want this to change. And in our humanity, yes, I'd like everything to be a utopia, but life isn't made that way. Instead, I have a God who understands the deep things, the secret things, the mysterious things that I cannot see, and He holds me in His hand. Oh, in this meeting, as you've committed things to the Lord, as He's called on your heart, and as He said, come a little further, you go home now and the circumstances are still there, hold to that commitment and that consecration. God is able to carry you where He has brought you, is able to reveal to you the things that you need. You may not know for tomorrow or the next day how you're going to deal with this or that. It's not tomorrow yet. It's not the next day yet. By His strength and by His revelation, a day at a time, the Lord will lead us step by step. I thought of also when the disciples went fishing. If we can read in John in the 21st chapter. They had fished all night in this place. And I don't know about you, but sometimes life can feel like you've been fishing all night and there isn't any fish. And you got the nets in, you've done it the same way that you always have, but there just aren't any fish. Isn't any result for the effort. And I'll read this here in John, the 21st chapter, in this first verse here. And it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself unto the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. And there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we will also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shores, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And to them they answered, no. And to some of us this morning, I would ask you the question. I know it's almost the end of Monarch, but I would ask you if you have any meat. I would ask you in your toil and in your effort, do you have any meat this morning? Let the Lord minister to you today. Don't go home without finding what you needed in this meeting. Maybe different distractions or different thoughts. And I know how the enemy works. When the Lord comes and he calls us and he says, I'm going to help you with this. Your mind goes to what if, and then I have to this, and then I have to that. Put those things aside and I ask you, from all your toil, have you any meat? From your effort, are there any fish in your net? Is there any result to what you've done over and over and over again? The requirement is that you obey the Lord and respond to his voice. He told the disciples, put your net on the other side. They could have, and you could tell me this morning, oh, I've tried this. But as the Lord is inspired to your heart, I encourage you to put your net on the other side. What the Lord has called you to. And he will fill the net. It is his blessing that brings the fish. It's, yes, many times our obedience and we have to respond. But without the Lord, there isn't anything. Without him in it, there isn't any result. You can have the form and the function. You can go through all the motions. But if the Lord isn't in it, you aren't going to catch anything. Oh, Lord, help us day in and day out as we get in the ruts of life and we get back in the same old routines of how we do things. That we seek the Lord, that we don't just put the nets in the water and draw them up again. But Lord, I need you here. I may even understand what I need to do, but Lord, without you by my side, my nets are going to be empty. Oh, this morning I ask and I pray. The Lord would be able to minister to the hearts of those that have made the decisions, and that you get so far away from where you'd want to be, and you get burnt out, and you get tired, and you get buried in the same old everyday circumstances, and the things that just continue to pile on. Oh, this morning, if you'll put your hand in His, if you'll listen to His voice. Sometimes it's as small as putting the net on the other side, and sometimes it takes a whole lot more than that. But it just starts by you putting your hand in His, recognizing that His power and His ability is able to sustain us, is able to take us from the places that we are in. Do you know it's not uncommon? It's not uncommon to reach a place where you feel burnout. It's not uncommon. It's a natural human thing to reach a wit's end place. If anything, it's something that the Lord uses, that when we've tired ourselves out and we realize that my efforts aren't enough, then we start to seek Him, Lord, to help me understand where I've made the wrong choices or where I've lost the fire or the zeal that you have for me, Lord. But it starts by seeking Him in all of those even very common occurrences in life. Do you know why when great tragedy strikes, people often turn to the Lord? Because something is very big, something is large, and at that time they recognize their own frailty. But the challenge for us as we go home is that we don't stop seeking the Lord in the small things, in the day-by-day details. In the every morning, there may not be some great sickness that I'm facing or some great tragedy, but it's by the lull of just everyday routine that we find ourselves drawn away and cooled, and then when the times come and we have no closeness then with the Lord. In your daily routines and in the daily just events of life, keep in contact with Him. Keep your hand in His and your reflection in Him and your inspiration of the Lord. Help me understand even the basic of things. Reveal even the deep things in the small things that I'm facing in life. Amen. It is through this that the Lord is able to keep us in that place. And then when the challenges come and the great storm comes, there's a safety and a serenity because the lion or the bear, whatever the small thing is that we faced, we found the consistency and the faithfulness of God in the daily circumstances of life. I'd like to read over here in 1 Corinthians in the second chapter. This was Paul's message to the church here, and he said, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And I would say this morning that in a congregation of this size, there's no way that I can know all the things that we all face this morning. When you're in your own congregation, there's just the handful of you. You know each other pretty well. And it's kind of hard to stand up and read that because you know everything about each other and all the things that you face. But I tell you this morning that we do know the Savior. And we do know the power that He has and the sustainment that's in Him. So I don't have to know all the burdens. I don't have to know all the details. And it's usually better not to know all the details. But the excellency is not of our speech. It's not of just enticing words of something that sounds good that I think I can try that. But it goes beyond that. There's a power of the Spirit that goes beyond the natural. When someone is sick, we don't have the power to touch them and heal them in our own strength. We don't have the ability to heal them by my hand touches them and I decide my virtue goes out and heals someone. It's the same in the circumstances of life. The knowledge and understanding of how to deal what God has allowed or the things that we're facing. It's not in our natural ability to determine those things. God has equipped us and has established a way for us to seek Him and to find the knowledge and the understanding to face the burdens that we face in life. He said in this place, He said, "And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak not wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor hath ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." By His Spirit, by the revelation and the knowledge of Him, people don't understand, the world doesn't understand the power and the knowledge of who Christ is. Their eyes are blinded. Just as it was when He came and the stone was disallowed and they couldn't recognize Him as the Son of God and rejected Him and what He brought, the world at large doesn't understand. And their knowledge and the things that they would put you or the things that they would put forward as the way to base life on or the decisions to make, it's with a blindness and with a lack of understanding. But God has allowed His Spirit to give us an inspiration of revelation, of knowledge and wisdom and knowing what He is able and capable of doing in our life day in and day out. You think of the Sermon on the Mount, the teachings that Jesus brought. If you read that from a natural sense, it makes no sense whatsoever. If someone slaps me on the cheek to turn my other cheek, why would I do such a thing? It causes me harm. They should be told why you shouldn't do that to people. They should be put in their place, or they should be struck back that they know you don't treat people like that. Just ask the world. They've got all the knowledge and all the wisdom to explain to you why this or why that. But this morning, our knowledge, when you go home to face the trials of life, it's not based on the wisdom of this world. It's based on the wisdom of God that He has brought in us, His children, adopted to follow after Him, to live by His Spirit, to bear His reflection, to bear His attributes, to bear His fruit in every situation and circumstance of life. And there is no way on earth that you can achieve that by our own strength, by our own determination, by our own head knowledge, by the old things that I've learned in the past or that even that I've seen exhibited. Though they may be powerful and they bring inspiration, I need the Lord's Spirit to work in my life and my heart that I would understand, that I would have the conviction in my heart, that I would have the inspiration of why I must stand where I'm standing, why I must ordeal or take on the abuse that I am taking on. Oh, God is able to hold us. He's able to teach us. He's not afraid of our questions this morning. He's not afraid of us coming to Him. It's what He wants. He wants us to come to Him and say, Lord, I don't understand, and I need Your strength. I need Your wisdom. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to answer this question. I don't know why these things don't match up. And the Lord has promised us that He give us wisdom that is unbraided. He said He desires that more than anything. Why did He say in Psalms and Proverbs over and over again, He exhorted the youth to come to Him and to seek wisdom and understanding? Because it's His desire to impart it to him. It's why He made us to be able to have an understanding and an ability to reason. It's why we can send a little rover up and take pictures of Pluto, because He made us to seek and find understanding and knowledge. But the understanding of God and the knowledge of the mysteries of God only come by His Spirit in a relationship with Him day in and day out. And all the enemy will bring all sorts of other distractions and knowledges and look at this and look at that. But it's going to be found in the simple quiet of seeking the Lord and laying your heart bare before Him day in, day out, that He is going to be able to reveal to you the things that you cannot find in your natural man. Oh, you can look, you can search, you can ask questions, but the Lord is the revealer of the hidden secret things. Oh, Lord, help me in the things that I face. And we bring our burdens to each other sometimes, and it's a great benefit that we have. Don't get me wrong this morning. The Lord uses each other to encourage and to counsel and to help each other. But it's by the inspiration of the Spirit to understand the truth of what it is that we stand on. Oh, we need this morning. We need it as we go to our homes, that Your zeal not be zapped, that Your passion not be diminished, that the ground that the Lord has delivered, that You're able to hold those things. But it's going to come by an inspiration and a revelation of His Spirit. I won't be there. Someone else won't be there. It's going to require that connection day in and day out with Him. The reality is circumstances do change sometimes, but many of them take a long time. And we need the inspiration, or we need the sustainment of the Spirit to keep us in those places until the Lord has determined, until He has worked His perfect work. Your life, your decisions, struggles that you face. I'm a type of person that likes to figure everything out. I like to know all the facts and to make a best decision, and a lot of times I don't like to make a decision until the last minute because something might change, you might understand something differently. But I found that in the relationship of the Lord, it doesn't work that way too often. I don't always know everything. I don't always understand everything in its detail. But when the Lord brings the inspiration of something and a decision or a direction, or He opens a door and gives us the encouragement, it's all you need to know. When He brings that inspiration of something that you can cling to and it speaks to your heart, many times it's in a scripture you were never looking for, or the song comes, or He gives you a message, or the thought drops in your heart or in your mind of something that He's revealed of Himself. Lord, I may not know everything else. I may not know how all this is going to turn out, but You've given me something to hold to, given me something to stand on. You've revealed something to me that no person can. Put something in my heart that I can lean on, that I can rely on. The Lord is faithful to do this if we'll turn to Him, if we'll rely upon Him. I'd like to read in 2 Timothy, closing here, in the first chapter. Just read in the 7th verse here. For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm thankful for the sound mind that the Lord gives us this morning. I don't have to be confused. I don't have to be carried from one direction to another. I don't have to always be seeking some new thing. But a sound and a secure mind that's based in the knowledge and the understanding that He brings to our heart and our life. This is something that He has equipped us with to face the situations in life. It says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. being a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Sounds like some circumstances of life. Sounds like some things that aren't necessarily going to change. It sounds like the Lord wants to have a relationship with me in spite of all the things that are around me and the things that I'm going to experience in life. And the consolation that I have is that the Lord knows what I need. He knows what's necessary for me to be successful in living for Him. He knows what things He needs to expose. He knows what things I need to encounter. Sometimes the things that we view as the greatest worry or the greatest fears, the things that we can build up in our mind that if this happens or that happens, oh, let our consolation rest. That if the Lord has allowed something to touch us and He has allowed things to come about in our life, then He knows what's best for us. Let Your face stand in that this morning. Lord, reveal and work Your perfect work in me. The afflictions of the gospel. For Paul, he was a prisoner here. Be not ashamed that I'm a prisoner. I'm doing it for the Lord. Be not ashamed of what I'm facing in life. I'm doing it for the Lord and by His strength and His by His sustainment. I'm standing in the place. Yes, maybe I could take this route or I could take that route. But He's encouraged me to be in this place. Stand there in the power of His might. By a testimony of, Lord, because I love You, I'm staying in this place. Keep me close to You. Teach me day in and day out, and I'll stay right where You want me to. I think of that song that says, Lord, don't remove me from the battle, just up closer to the cross. Oh, it takes a very close place with the Lord to make that dedication and that consecration. But Lord, help that to be our vision and our consecration to Him as we go home. Lord, I know the battles are waiting, but just move me closer to the cross. Help me to keep my hand in Yours. Help me to stand in the power of Your might and Your strength in the middle of whatever it is, Lord, whatever circumstance of life I'm going to have to face. You read on here, or He said on here, He said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But now is made manifest by the appearance of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He is the life giver. He is the sustainer. He is the creator that creates within us a new thing that no person or no knowledge, no thing that we could create. God is the creator. He is the life giver. He is the light provider that gives us the understanding and the ability to stand and be sustained in the places where we are. It says, but now or whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That would be my encouragement and that my admonishment to us this morning. As the Lord has brought words of life to us, as He has breathed life back into us. If you came and you all the... One of the visions I had was an old knotted ball. We talked about this at home and a little bit. And you get that all and you can't unwind it and you take it to your parents, or the kid takes to the parents to unwind those knots. The Lord is able to unwind the knots of life that you found yourself in, and He's able to keep them untangled as we go back and we pay. He's able to keep things straight and clear in our minds, to keep us in that place, committed unto Him. Know whom ye have believed, be persuaded that He is able to accomplish that perfect work which He has started. I ask that you pray for me as I go home. I've got battles, I've got burdens, I've got hurts, I've got afflictions. We all have them this morning. But let us be persuaded in our mind and let us hold fast the sound words of life the Lord has delivered to us. Pray for me.